So we read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, verse 14. This chapter is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. It goes like this. Satatam kirtayam tumam yatantas chantrita vrataha namasyantas chamam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. The translation is, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. The Prabhupada, the Mahatma, the great soul, cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma, a great soul, is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse, the Mahatma, is always engaged in different activities of devotional service as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu. Not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has a firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas or tastes. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like on the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas, for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, the great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life a devotional service guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God and thus become actually Mahatma, the great soul. Satantam kirtayantumam yatantas chatritam rataha namasyatas tamam bhaktyani chanyutam pashati. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So, today's topic is the chanting of the holy name. This method of the chanting of the holy name, as I mentioned in the beginning, is prescribed throughout all the Vedic literatures. Most of these Vedic literatures have been compiled by Veda Vyasadeva, a literary incarnation of the Lord itself, and also the previous acharyas after him wrote commentaries on the different literatures, prescribing that the process of the chanting of Hare Krishna is a purifying process. This process of chanting Hare Krishna can reveal our original position and natural relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I sorted out a few quotes from different Shastra in one book which I have here, and in the Adi Purana there is a saying about this chanting of the holy name, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to in his Sharanagati books. He says there, there is no vow like chanting the holy name, no knowledge superior to it, no meditation which comes anywhere near it, and it gives the highest result. No penance is equal to it, and nothing is as potent and powerful as the holy name. Chanting is the greatest act of piety and the supreme refuge. Even the words of the Vedas do not possess sufficient power to describe its magnitude. Chanting is the highest path to liberation, peace and eternal life. It's the pinnacle of devotion, the heart's joyous proclivity and attraction, and the best form of remembrance, of the Supreme Lord. The holy name has appeared solely for the benefit of the living entities as their Lord and Master, their supreme worshipful object and their spiritual guide and mentor. Whoever continuously chants Lord Krishna's holy name, even in his sleep, can easily realize that the name is a direct manifestation of Krishna himself, in spite of all the influences of this Kali Yuga. So, there we find a brief description of the power of the holy name. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in about the sixth canto, but we don't have time to read from it now, I'll just briefly tell a story of a great personality which was kind of like saved by the chanting of this holy name. His name is Ajamil. Most of you might know the story relating to this Brahmin boy. Ajamil was born in a Brahmin family, and he was observing all these rules and regulations and vows which are prescribed as the duties for the Brahmins. So he was a very pious personality, and he did a lot of devotional service to the Lord. But as this illusory energy of this material world can be very distractive, he fell into so-called Maya. Maya is referred to as the illusory energy. One day, as he walked back to his ashram, he saw a man and a woman mating on the street and embracing each other in an act which we don't have to describe further here. So, and just by seeing these two persons enacting some lovely affair, he got contaminated in his heart. Lust arose in his heart. Before, he had a lot of love for God in his heart, but all of a sudden lust arose in his heart, that he wanted to be an enjoyer. And this lust became bigger and bigger in his heart, so that he gave up all his duties and regulations, actually. And he gave up all his brahminical qualities. And he got married to a prostitute, which he then has often visited to perform some activities. And so he just lived with this woman, and to maintain the family with her, he had to start to steal and rob and even murder. So he was doing many sinful activities just by the association of seeing this simple act on the street. So, and even when he was very, very old, his country was over 80 years already old, he still begot a child. And he called this child Narayan. Narayan is one of the transcendental names of Krishna. And but he was already very old, and it was almost up that he would die. So, and in the Vedic literature we hear that there is different types of personalities. In the Christian tradition they are referred to angels. In the Vedic tradition they are referred to demigods. And there's also a demigod responsible for the death of all of us. His name is Yamaraj. Yamaraj, Yama means the death, and he's the king of death, so to say. And he's responsible to give us a certain type of karma. When we all have to give up our bodies, then we all get a certain type of karma. That means due to whatever acts we have performed, we have to get a special new body. And so this Yamaraj, he also has some servants and attendants. They are called the Yamadutas. So when this Ajamil was about to give up his body, he saw all of a sudden these Yamadutas approaching him, and they wanted to drag his soul out of the body and give him a new result, because he has acted quite sinfully in his life. So he just saw his little child Narayan, and saw all of a sudden he screamed, "Narayan! Narayan!" because he took shelter of his little son, because he was completely afraid seeing these ghostly type of personalities around him. And all of a sudden, the Vishnu Dutas, that are the attendants and servants of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God, had appeared and told these Yamadutas, "You have no right to take this person, because he has chanted the holy names." A long discussion took place. We will not go into the details. It's a long part in this sixth canto. But they explained that actually, even though he did not chant the holy name purely, but in a mood that he was really serious about his son helping him, and therefore he chanted the holy name, he was actually saved by the Vishnu Dutas. After this, he kind of woke up out of this illusion which he was in before, and he started to perform his activities again. That the Vishnu Dutas came and that he could remember this holy name was actually only due to the pious activities which he has done in his youth time, in his youthful times, when he was still performing his duties. So in this story we can kind of like hear that this chanting of the holy name has a very high potency. So remembering these holy names is said that by this that the mirror of our heart gets cleansed. It's said that our consciousness is just kind of like polluted with material conceptions. It's called ahankara, with material views, and with the thought actually that we could be the enjoyer of this material world, that we think that this material world is only made for our enjoyment. This is why we have wars, because everyone thinks this made is only made for me, not for you. So that's why we have wars. And in this concept, we forget actually our relation with God. And it's said that this transcendental sound vibration of chanting Hare Krishna can revive this original natural tendency to approach God, to always understand that we are always subordinate to Him. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, Yam Yam Vapi Smarang Karam Chyanati Anta Kalevaram. So whatever you think of at the moment of death, this you will certainly reach. So what do we think of at death? This is like an accumulation of all our life which we have lived here. So when we live in a certain way, we produce a certain type of karma and also a certain type of consciousness. So at the time when we have to give up our bodies, a certain condensed type of consciousness is within us. So, and this is actually the point of can we remember our relation with God or not. Therefore this process of the chanting of Hare Krishna is given by the acharyas and by all the literature, so that we can train while we are still in these bodies, while we are still on this earth. We can train this actually to remember. In this purport of this verse, which I read, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that one can do it in his daily life, he says here. As described in the second verse, it should be performed in a happy mood. One does not have to undergo any severe penance or austerities. It's a very joyful process. I mean, we were now singing and chanting, and sometimes we see the devotees also, what we will do later, in about 20 minutes. Time. That we will also dance for the Lord. So this process of the chanting is actually a very joyful process, and it can clean this mirror of the heart, Chetu Dharpana Marjanam it's called. The heart is like a mirror filled with dust, with layers of dust, and so it cannot reflect its original position anymore. Its natural tendency to have a relation with God. We have just forgotten this. But this is part of our heart. This is within us. So by this chanting of the holy names, this tendency can be revived. Srila Prabhupada gives some explanation on this sound vibration. I was going to read this briefly. This transcendental vibration established by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, is the sublime method for reviving our transcendental consciousness. As living spirit souls, we are originally all Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with this matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now adulterated by the material atmosphere. This material atmosphere in which we are now living is called Maya or illusion. Maya means that which is not. And what is the illusion? The illusion is that we are all trying to be lords of the material nature, while actually we are under the grip of the stringent laws. So he continues this a little bit further. So, the Vedas tell us that this chanting of Hare Krishna can really bring us back on the platform of transcendental love to God even. So not only showing us actually the relation which we have to go, which we have, but also that there is a loving relation with God. If we have a concept of God, everyone understands, I want to love, I want to be loved. This is what we also find in this material world. It originates from our loving relation which we had with God, as we were still a pure soul. Now the soul is just covered by different layers. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, these cross elements. Mind, intelligence, ahankara, the false ego. They are covering actually this mirror of the heart. They are just covering it. So therefore we have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten which relation we have to God. And by this process of the chanting of these holy names of Lord Krishna, especially this Maha Mantra, this relation can be revived. For that reason, as we are a little short in time and we may also do some question and answers today, I just want to read a few slokas from different shastras which refer to this chanting of the holy name. The most important one, most of you know, is Trinatapi Sunichna Taro Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manalika Kirtanaya Sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass on the street, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily chant the holy name of the Lord. This is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastakam. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is another verse stating, if one chants the holy name of the Lord in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna. Then it continues. I'm just going to read a few verses because we can just meditate upon their meaning a little bit to us. How we can actually start to chant the holy names as well, because this process doesn't cost anything. It's a free process which has actually been given to this world to uplift everyone, to revive this Krishna consciousness within the heart. Another verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita from the Antya Lila is, one of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 6th canto which I have here, devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. He also chants the holy name. So, and then the Garuda Purana, he says something else. If one chants the holy name of the Lord, even in a helpless condition, like Ajamir did, in a helpless condition, he was facing death, or without desiring to do so. Sometimes when we make Harinam on the street, some people also say, oh, Hare Krishna. So they just say something like this. If one does it with this mind, all the reactions of his sinful life depart, just like as a lion roars, all the small animals, they will flee, they will escape. So this is also one potency of the holy name, that all the reactions of the simple activities will just go away by this chanting of the holy name. This is prescribed in the Vedas, so we can take it or not, but it's said here, and the devotees who perform it can really see it in their lives that the simple reactions stop to a certain degree. So we can see that it has a purifying approach. And the Brihad Vishnu Purana says also very importantly, simply by chanting one holy name of Hari, a sinful man can counteract the reactions to more sins than he is able to commit in this life. So we find throughout the Vedas again and again the message, one should actually chant his holy name. And this is a process which we do not only find in the Hare Krishna movement, this is a process which we also find in other religions. A little or slight difference actually is that in many traditions, this process of the chanting of holy names of God is not very pure anymore, because the people do not actually understand why they do it, and they sometimes also have secondary names only of God, prescribing him in some outer form, but not actually describing his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, and so on. So sometimes in other traditions, the deeper meaning of this chanting has gotten lost. So for that reason, the Vedas describe actually this holy name of Krishna. It's also explained, one could speak about only about the name Krishna or Radhe to understand what the meaning of these words actually are. They are also explained in the Vedas. We have no time to go so deep into this today, but I just want to encourage all of you just to pick up this process of chanting. Just do it 10 minutes in the morning or half an hour, however long time you have. It's such a simple process of this chanting of the holy name. But it has this wonderful purifying effect to the heart that we can, one day we can understand our actual true position, who we are. So the Srimad Bhagavatam again says, in the, also in the 6th chapter, one who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from all the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, it's called Sanketya, in a jokingly mood parihasya, for musical entertainment, as we did here, it's called Stoba, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of all the scriptures. In the Vedanta Sutra, which is a book which even the impersonalists try to study and read, it says, Om Anavriti Sabdat. Sabda is the sound. By the sound vibration, one becomes liberated, Vedavyasa also says. just by this sound vibration of the chanting of the holy names, one gets liberation. That means one is free from all entanglements of this material world, also of this material body. The Shastras say, we are spirit soul, aham brahmasmi. We are not this body, the Shastras say. We have this body as a vehicle, but we are a spirit soul. And how can we get this knowledge back that we are a spirit soul? By this chanting of Hare Krishna. So this process is also given. In the Padma Purana it says, the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benediction, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. So here we hear that the holy name is not different from God, from Krishna. Why is it like this? If we understand God as an absolute principle, we have to understand that his name is not different from him, otherwise he would not be absolute. So like if I call Herman or whoever name, he may not be in this room, so he will not hear it, so his name is different. But the spiritual realm has a different quality. Everything which is related with God is absolute as well, so the name has the all potencies of God himself. So when we chant his name, it said that it's Krishna can dance on our tongue, and therefore he can reveal himself to us. So by this chanting we pick up the process of actually relating to him again. So what does this Maha Mantra actually mean? Maybe I should have explained this in the beginning, but I do it just briefly now. To this Maha Mantra there is different explanations, but one very simple one is actually, O Lord, let me become your servant again. Please engage me in your devotional service. Please let me love you somehow. And we can ask next, what is love? Love actually means to freely, without any expectations, give something to one we love. Without having any expectation. I just want to serve you. I want that you feel happy. I want to please you. This is actually love. Everything else is not love. Everything else is a business or lust. But love means to give without any expectations, without any condition. So, and through this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can revive this original love, which is right now just in a, so to say, perverted form. Because in this material world, there's always a business, or there's a lot of lust involved. There's also some part love, definitely. But it's not in this original, true, pure form anymore. But through this chanting, this pure form can be revived. So throughout the Vedas, we find that this process is given to us. So just understanding that this Vedic literature has been compiled for the sake of mankind, and that also other religions refer to this Vedic literature originally, we can understand that actually this process which has been given in this Kali Yuga, in this age where we live now, we should really take to heart. It is very difficult to perform other penances, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here in his purport. You have to, don't have to go undergo any severe penance or austerities. One does not have to stand on one leg pointing his arms up for hundreds of years. It's impossible. We don't have the strength, the age, we don't get old enough, we don't have the intelligence for this. So, but this chanting of the holy name, everyone can do. It's a free process for everyone. And it's very simple. One just have to engage the tongue in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by this chanting, our relation with God will be renewed and we will understand who we are and who is God. So, thank you, Hare Krishna. Maybe you have some comments or some questions on this topic. Actually, if we had more time, we could speak for hours about this, actually. I've written so many notes down for about different occurrences in the Vedas where devotees were saved by this chanting of the holy name, and that they could get the association of the Lord, actually, by this chanting of the holy name. It might seem like a fairy tale, but these Vedas are not fairy tale stories, but they are historical writings, the Puranas especially. They mention of so many different kings and dynasties of people who really lived on this earth, and they are way dated back, way to 5,000 years and earlier. So up to now this process is a process which is still alive. So, and just by hearing that for thousands of years this process worked for different people, even until now, we should exactly for that reason even take it to heart and try, okay, I try it at least one time, and then I see if I get any result. And I promise you that every one of you will get a certain result, some kind of like a little God realization, that you may be more able to understand your relation with God. So please all chant Hare Krishna. Thank you.
So maybe some of you have some questions or comments. Yes, please.
If I understand today's lecture, the main thing what you said is that in this particular age, which is a materialistic age,
yes,
that we have been given a particular mantra, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is a particular tool which has been given to us in this particular age,
yes,
so that we can liberate ourselves. That means, in other words, in simple language, we can be satisfied, have peace with us, and have a connection with the cause. Is that the message?
It even goes a little further. It even goes further than this, because it's not only a tool. Like sometimes we use certain tantric, we don't use, but some people use some tantras to get certain powers. This is possible, but actually this holy name is even further than this, it's more than this. It's the Lord Himself, who can reveal Himself more and more. The purer we get, then He can reveal Himself. And what you said is quite nice, because of course we can liberate ourselves, but this process is also that we can also liberate the personalities around us, especially if we don't do only manasi chanting, which is chanting in the mind, but chanting loudly. So all the animals or trees, people around us who hear this Maha Mantra which we chant also get the benediction of becoming purified. So the chanting of this holy name has even a greater potency than only just liberating us. And it's actually also not necessarily meant only that we get a satisfaction out of it. This we get simultaneously. We don't have to even strive for that. But actually it's to please the Lord. Narada Muni said in the Narada Bhakti Sutras that actually there are certain processes one can perform for the sake of pleasing the Lord. One is, of course, the chanting of the holy names or a certain type of humility. He says, why am I humble? Because I want to please the Lord with it. So actually, when we chant the holy names, this should be our main goal, actually, to please Krishna with this. Simultaneously, we get happy. If, of course, if we have a desire, like I can also not say that I am free from this. Certainly not, I am a beginner. But I believe that still if we want to liberate only ourselves by chanting this holy name, it still has an effect to purify us and bring us furthermore to the stage of loving devotional service one day. So it has also this purifying character that at the moment we may be still selfish in our hearts. This is the way it is. But it can purify our heart that we actually give up this selfishness and become a servant of the Lord. So this is also one characteristic and aspect of this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it even goes further. Does it somehow answer your question?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Thank you very much.
There's many advantages besides this. Yes.
Definitely, yes.
That's a very simple tool.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Brihannarada Purana it said Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kaos Yavya Nasteva Nasteva Gati Ranyata. In this age of quarrel there is no other process than the chanting of the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, the chanting of the holy name. There is no other process, no other process, no other process. So it really, you know, the people are shaken. Wake up, sleeping soul, deep jago, wake up. Take this process. Otherwise, this world, you know, you will just, you know, have problems here. Revive your original true status of being an eternal servant of God. So it really makes this point so clear. There is no other method in this kind of yoga. We cannot do any, of course we can do prayers and so many other things, but Srila Prabhupada said that this chanting of the holy name is like an elevator. It's not like taking the stairs slowly, 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 step by step. It's an elevator. It can really uplift everyone really quickly. So please take to the chanting of Hare Krishna again. So this is what we will do in 2 or 3 minutes when the altar opens again. We will, before the transcendental feast, we will have a nice kirtan which we sing for the Lord. And we will sing and dance, and so everyone is welcome to perform in this also. So Hare Krishna, thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaura Mithai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.